Okay, welcome back to the second week, the second in the series of Hilchos Tzedakah that we're going to be discussing, hopefully, B'siyata D'Shmaya this summer together in the shul here in Yonkers of Woodmere in our summer learning program. We ended off last week. We said we were going to start by discussing the hashkafa, the machshava, the backing in terms of the sort of the neshama of the halachos of Tzedakah, the idea of the schar, the reward, what exactly our goal is in the mitzvah of tzedakah, how many mitzvahs there are, how many isurim there are in not doing tzedakah. So that we spent a little time on last week. A lot of halacha, a lot of hashkafa. Saw a few different sources about that. And we said we're going to start zoning in on the halachic aspects of tzedakah as we go along throughout the week. So this week will be one step closer, one step in towards the very detailed halachas. But for now, it'll also still be a more broad-ranging topic, a more still somewhat introductory course to the mitzvah and the halachos of tzedakah. Mr. Schiff just mentioned to me that there was a discussion this morning, I guess, about putting money in the pushka. So is it better to really give a dollar every day? Is it better to give a quarter and do it more often? All those things, that's actually as simple as a Rambam that we're hopefully going to get to. Another Balabas came over to me. He doesn't come live, but he listens online, Dr. Avi Holshender. So he wanted to discuss giving money during davening. Is there anything to that? We know that's a minhag Yisrael, so where in the world did that come from? He sent me an interesting medrash that talks about that. So hopefully all of these little topics we'll get to as we go. But for now, let's focus again on getting our feet wet in the actual sugya, the actual broader topic of the mitzvah, the chiyuv of tzedakah. Fine. So, again, we discussed last week there is at least one mitzvah essay, at least one positive commandment to giving tzedakah, and we quoted a whole bunch of psukim. We don't count every pasuk as a separate mitzvah, but we quoted a whole bunch of psukim that stress this mitzvah, and in fact, there is also a los essay, or more than one los essay, involved, a negative commandment with not giving tzedakah. That's what we discussed last week. Now that we know there's a mitzvah, so who is chayv to do the mitzvah? Who has to give tzedakah? So, anyone have any suggestions? This is an easy one. Aliyup. Everyone, right? Everyone. Okay. So if you look at the first source, the Shulchan Aruch number one, right? Shulchan Aruch and Aruch in Yoredeya, that's where Hilchos Tzedakah are. So in Reish Mem Ches, Sif Aleph, Kol Adam Chayiv Litein Tzedakah. Every single Jewish person is Chayiv to give Tzedakah. Now notice we added one word. Which word was that? Jewish, right? Every single Jewish person is Chayiv to give Tzedakah. So that makes sense. We're the ones talking about mitzvahs. We're the ones who have a Torah. We're the ones who have the 613 commandments. But in fact, we know there are mitzvahs that Goyim are commanded. There are mitzvahs that Bnei Noach have to keep, the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And so the question I'd like to pose is, are Goyim chayiv to give tzedakah? Are non-Jews chayiv just as much as Jews to perform this great mitzvah of charity? Any thoughts? No? We got one no?
It is not one of the...
Good. So we do have a count. We do have a list. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Vav, has a count, a list of all the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. Exactly, seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. It learns it out from Psukim. And the mitzvahs basically go as follows. A guy is not allowed to eat Aver Minachai. He is not allowed to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom. He is not allowed to steal. He must set up a court system and cannot stand idly by while people violate that court system. And then the big three, he can't have illicit relations as outlined by the Gemara later in that same parak in Sanhedrin. He can't worship Avodah Zarah, which is a big deal. Obviously, we see that not being so carefully kept all the time. And he cannot murder, just like a Jew can't murder, a guy can't murder. Those are the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. Notice, there are more makoros. She's right there on the first table in the back, and also on the bima, if you want. Spread out. Okay. So notice we did not mention the mitzvah of tzedakah, and seemingly Goyim do not have that mitzvah within their count of seven mitzvahs. And in fact, if you looked in the Rambam, you would get no other indication. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, in Perek Yud, in Perek Tes and Perek Yud, and a little bit at the end of Perek Ches, the Rambam talks about the Goyim and their mitzvahs. How to convert a guy and how many mitzvahs they have to keep when they're even not Jewish yet. So in Perek Yud of Hilchos Melachim, in Halacha Yud, the Rambam mentions that a guy is allowed to volunteer to do mitzvahs. He's allowed to be misnadiv, he's allowed to offer above and beyond what he is called upon to do, he's allowed to offer and volunteer to do extra mitzvahs. Now what is the Rambam's example? First he says if a guy doesn't have to bring carbon ola, he doesn't have to bring such a carbon, that's true. A Jew sometimes has to bring a carbon ola, a guy does not. But a guy, says the Rambam, if he offers a carbon ola, we'll accept it. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with him adding a carbon, volunteering that carbon. Says the Rambam, another example of a mitzvah that the guy is allowed to volunteer, not that it's limited to these examples, these are just the two the Rambam picks. Says the Rambam, if a guy chooses to give tzedakah, we'll accept the tzedakah from him. He's allowed to volunteer mitzvah tzedakah. Now, what does that sound like, obviously? Not mitzvah. He has no commandment to give staka. There's no mitzvah of charity for the Goyim. The Rambam just tells us if he wants to volunteer to give that money to tzedakah, we'll accept it. We won't turn him down, but he's absolutely not commanded to do so. In fact, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra in the beginning, Daf Dalid. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells how, basically a longer story, but Daniel was punished for giving advice to Nebuchadnezzar, a very evil king. He was punished for giving advice to Nebuchadnezzar. What was the advice? So apparently the Gemara says Daniel advised Nebuchadnezzar to do a mitzvah. Even though he's a Rasha, he was teaching him how to do a mitzvah so that he could have a zechus, whatever the pshat in the Gemara is exactly. And what mitzvah was that? Tzedakah. So says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, he has a parish on the... Rav Elchanan Wasserman was one of the greatest gedolim we've ever had, one of the greatest Jewish minds we've had. He has tons of commentary on the Gemara. He was a Talmud of the Chavetz Chaim, and he had other associations as well. He was killed in the Holocaust. You can read the biography, or Elchanan, which was translated into English. I think it was Solan Meshpacha 2 weeks ago. That was the first article biography. Now they have a monopoly on biographies, pretty much. But the first one they ever wrote was the one of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. So Rav Elchanan Wasserman, in his Sefer, Kovetz Shirim, which is a classic, there in the Gemara in Bava Basra. So he points out, this Gemara sounds like the Rambam. This Gemara sounds like Daniel was punished for advising Nebuchadnezzar to give tzedakah, which sounds like it wasn't a mitzvah for Nebuchadnezzar, a guy, to give tzedakah. There's a mitzvah for the Jews to give charity, but there's no mitzvah for the guy. And like we said, that fits in with the list that we just pointed out, the list of seven mitzvos, tzedakah not being included for Goyim. That's what the Rambam says. Are there anyone who disagrees? So if you look in source number 2, in fact, the Chidush HaRan, the Ran, in Mesechet Sanhedrin, there on Nun Vav, he disagrees. He actually does quote the Rambam. It's not here on the page, but he does eventually quote the Rambam. The Ran is working off the following pasuk in Parshas Vayera about Avram Avinu. Ki yedatib leman asher yitzaveh says the Torah that Avram commanded his children and everyone who follows after him that they should keep to the Derech Hashem, they should follow the ways of Hashem. And what's the way of following Hashem? Tzedakah u'mishpat. So says the Ran, seemingly based on the Gemara there in Sanhedrin. You have to work out the details to see if he's exactly right in what the Gemara means, but the Ran thinks that the pasuk is taken very literally. Avram was not yet Jewish, right? Avram was the pioneer of Judaism, but he wasn't officially undergone any sort of geiris at this point, and he's commanding himself and his followers in the mitzvah of tzedakah, it sounds like, from the pasuk. That's what the Gemara seems, at first glance, to be saying. So says the Ran, oh, I have a Gemara right here that sounds like the mitzvah of tzedakah is also incumbent upon Goyim, and in fact, he quotes also a pasuk in Yecheskel, Yad Ani Ve'evyon Lo Hechziku, that the people of Sodom, the Goyim, of the town of Sodom, they were punished, they were all destroyed, because Yad Ani Ve'evyon Lo Hechziku, they did not help sustain and support the poor in their community. So it sounds there too, like the Goyim were held accountable for this mitzvah of tzedakah. So there you have a source in the Rishonim, and two sources seemingly in Psukim, that Goyim actually do have a mitzvah of tzedakah. Again, not all the Rishonim are going to agree with the way he's reading the Gemara, but that's the way the Ran points out is the simple understanding. Again, doesn't make the list of seven mitzvahs been enough, as he pointed out before, but that's not a kasha, because there are other mitzvahs as well that Goyim have to keep, as we'll see actually soon. Goyim do have to keep other mitzvahs that don't make that list for technical reasons. The list only meant to count certain things and not certain other things, so the Ran does not think that's an issue. In fact, the Netziv, Naftali Svi Yehuda Berliner, he wrote the Hemek Sheila, the Hemek Davar, right? He wrote a lot of Sarm that we're familiar with. Something we're less familiar with, which I also am less familiar with, he wrote a Haskama, an approbation, to the Sefer Avas Chesed, which is the Chavetz Chaim Sefer about Staka and Gemilas Chasadim. So in this Haskama, again, just if anyone's wondering, I don't read through Haskamas always. It was pointed out to me last summer by our very own Rabbi Eliyahu Wolf Shlita. He pointed out to me that in this Haskama, the Netziv has a very beautiful discussion about the Goyim in the mitzvah of tzedakah, and he also asserts that Goyim are chayiv in mitzvah tzedakah, and another Rishon says the same thing. The Rokeach in Simin Shin Samach Vav in his Sefer says that Goyim are chayiv in tzedakah, just like Jews are as well. Interesting. We have proof from Psukim. Now, even if you wanted to disregard the proof from the Psukim, even if you didn't want to believe that these Psukim are saying what the Ran, what the Rokeach, what the Netziv think they're saying, there is another reason, I think, to say that Goyim are actually chayiv in the midst of tzedakah, that B'nai Noach have to give charity. What's that reason? It goes as follows. The famous Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon. Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon wrote it looks long at least because it's in tiny font in the very beginning of the Gemara Brachos in the standard editions of the Shas. So Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon wrote a long Hagdama, an introduction to Shas. He writes about different klalim, different rules, different ideas that are going to come up throughout Shas. And in the middle of this long Hagdama, he has a very famous couple of lines where he points out that Goyim are chayiv in more mitzvahs than we think. He says, Goyim are chayiv in the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and the few exceptions that the Gemara points out itself, and Goyim are chayiv in a whole other category of mitzvahs called mitzvahs that are mistaber, mitzvahs that are logic-based, intuitive, things that people could pick up on their own. If the Torah had not told Goyim, you can't kill, you can't steal, it wouldn't have mattered. The Goyim would have been chayiv in that anyways, because it's logical. It makes sense. It's intuitive that you're not allowed to do those things. Says Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon. Rav Nisim Gaon says that a Goy is chayiv in anything that just makes sense. It's a svara. It's logical. It's intuitive. So a Goy has to keep that as well. Sort of like the more utilitarian mitzvos, the things that uphold society. So a Goy is just as chayiv in those things as anyone else. One example that's coming up in next week's parsha, Balak. So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, in his third chelik of Mor Nevuchim, he discusses the taimei ha-mitzvos, the different reasons for mitzvos. In Perek Yud Zayin, in that third chelik, the Rambam discusses the mitzvah of Tzar Balei Chaim. We're all familiar with Tzar Balei Chaim. There's a little bit of a machlokas tanaim, actually it's a bit of a machlokas tanaim, whether that's an Isser D'Oraisa to cause pain to torture animals, whether it's an Isser D'Oraisa or Isser D'Rabbanan. The Rambam quotes a pasuk. He points out there's a makor in the Torah for that issue of Tzar Balei Chaim. What's his story? What's his makor? What's his source? He says the story of Bilam. Lama hikisa, why did you hit your donkey? Zeshalosh palmim, regalim, sorry. Regalim, yeah. Why did you hit your donkey these three times? Says the Rambam. We see right here that Bilam was held accountable for hitting his donkey. Oh, it's a source for the Isser of Tzar Balei Chaim. Now, what's the issue? Jews have a Torah. They're chayiv in Tzar Balei Chaim. Bilam was a... Use the nicer words. He was a goy. He was a nachri. He was a ben Noach. Those are all fair game. He was a Gentile. He was a non-Jew. So how could it be that the Rambam is bringing proof for Tzar Balei Chaim from a goy, from a non-Jew? The non-Jew doesn't have a Torah. How could you say he's chayiv in Tzar Balei Chaim? So say the Achronim, the Rambam is talking about exactly what we think right here, what we're talking about from Nisan Gaon. Tzar Balei Chaim, yes, it's a mitzvah. Yes, it's commanded in the Torah to Jews, but it also just makes sense. You can't torture... V'rachamav al kol ma'asav. Kadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on all of his creatures, says the Gemara in Bava Metzia. And it can't be that a person would defy that logic, that intuition, that basic moral intuition, not to hurt an animal, not to hurt a living being. So says Rav Nisim Gaon, says the Rambam, even a Goy, even a Nachri, even Bilam HaRasha is also chayiv in that mitzvah, because it's logic-based, because it's intuitive. And so, based on what we've developed last week, for anyone who wasn't here, we developed last week a theme in Mitzvah Tzedakah. We pointed out in the Psukim, we pointed out in the Poskim, and in the Rishonim, and in some of the Mefarshim on the Torah, that the idea of Mitzvah Tzedakah is that it's all about reciprocity. It's all about I give to you because you have to give to me. We care for each other because we care for each other. The world is a cycle of poverty that goes around. It might not hit you at this point, not in this generation, but at some point down the line, everyone unfortunately experiences poverty. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu set the wheel in motion and said, everyone at the top of the wheel, take care of the bottom of the wheel because the tables will turn eventually. Tzedakah is based on this logical sense of reciprocity. So if that's true, then what we have here on our hands is a mitzvah that's based on svara. Tzedakah is a mitzvah that's based on intuition, a mitzvah that's based on logic. And if it's a mitzvah that's based on logic, so then we understand that even Goyim could potentially have a chiv, could potentially have a mitzvah of giving tzedakah. So even if you didn't have those psukim, even if you didn't have the Ran's proofs and the Rokeach and the Nitziv, but either way we would still be able to say that Goyim are chayiv in mitzvah tzedakah because it's logical, it's intuitive, it's something which fits into this rule that Goyim are chayiv in anything that makes sense to everyone. Now, that concept of Goyim being chayiv in things that are mistaber, things that make sense, that utilitarian form of mitzvah, So, and the fact that tzedakah is one of those examples, it might help us solve another issue that's plagued many Rishonim and many Achronim. The famous question, which probably some of us here have wondered, is why does tzedakah not get a bracha? Good question. A lot of mitzvahs we do, we shake a lulav, we make a bracha. A lot of mitzvahs we do make a bracha. Tefillin, we make a bracha. We put on tzitzit, whatever the mitzvahs are, we make brachas. Neros Shabbos, Neros Chanukah. So why does the mitzvah of tzedakah not get a bracha? Anyone have any suggestions for that?
You might not accept it.
Okay. Good, we're going to get to that in about a second. So, fine, so a second, no, we'll say one thing first. The famous joke sort of story that's told, I've always heard it, but I recently saw that the Lubavitch Rebbe wrote it down. I don't know if that meant he took it more seriously. You can't tell if it's a joke when it's in writing, and if it's in Yiddish. But the Lubavitch Rebbe pointed this out, and it's a famous sort of Yiddish folklore, I guess. So, by the Hasidim, when you make a bracha, so you get ready for a bracha. You put on a gartel, you go to the mikveh, you get ready, and then you say it with all the kavanos, you take a while. If you ever go on YouTube and watch a Rebbe light Hanukkah candles, whatever, set aside time to do it. That's all I'm saying. So says the Lubavitch Rebbe, say the Olam, I guess, say everyone, that what's going to happen? An Ani's going to come knocking at your door. He's going to be starving. You're going to open the door. He's almost plotzing. He's going to say, please, just a little food, just a little money so I can buy food, something. You're going to say, Gvaldik, mitzvah stucka. One second. Run to the mikvah. Put on a gartel. Put on a jacket. Mikvah again, you weren't sure, maybe chatzitza, okay, whatever. Go to the mikvah again, come back, put on the gartel, you're ready. All the kavanos, you're shuckling, and you open your eyes to make the bracha, and the ani's dead on the doorstep. You wasted it, you missed the mitzvah, because you have to make a bracha, you got all the preparation, you ended up squandering the opportunity. So that's obviously not the real answer to our question. So why is there no mitzvah bracha on mitzvah stucca? So as we just heard, some of the Rishonim suggested the following answer. I printed for you here. Source number 3, the Rashba in his Chuvos in Chelek Aleph, Simen Yud Ches, the Rashba suggests that there's no real rule. Some mitzvos have brachos, some mitzvos don't. And in every case, you have to look at why this particular mitzvah doesn't have a bracha. So why doesn't Shemitah's Ksafim have a bracha? Why, when you can't collect on your loans in that year, so why doesn't that have a bracha? Because there's no Maisa, there's no action, we only make a bracha on things that have an action. Different mitzvos have different reasons why we do or don't make a bracha. Says the Rashba, the reason we don't make a bracha on tzedakah is because who's to say the Ani is going to accept it? If I give tzedakah to an ani, says the Rashba, this is an assumption that not everyone agrees to, but the Rashba assumes that if I offer an ani tzedakah, a poor person tzedakah, and he rejects it, I didn't do the mitzvah tzedakah. I didn't provide any money for anyone. I didn't lose any money on my behalf, and I didn't provide for the ani for him to survive better. So I didn't do the mitzvah tzedakah. So when I make this bracha over Las Yasan in advance, before I do the mitzvah, I don't know that the ani is going to accept the money. So how can I make a bracha on that suffix? So says the Rashba, that's why there's no bracha on tzedakah. Yeah.
I mean, most of us will put money into a pot, so we don't know what the end is going to be.
That's a good point.
I understand maybe something bracha l'kula, we don't make it, but that's how most of us give our tzedakah.
Great.
Or we'll give money to, in our shul, but my billet, and he'll distribute it. I mean,
I was just thinking, you might have the same problem finding a Kohen to give you Maisa to.
I think that's the other example that the Rashba has. Matnos Kuhn, yeah. So so I think the answer to you is that in Ham, you're 100% correct. First of all, we're going to offer another answer, and there are other answers, so that's one way out of your kasha to say that you destroyed the Rashba. So I would be happy to go with that so we can continue shir. But the other answer is that there are a few forms of mitzvah tzedakah, which hopefully we'll discuss a little bit more at the end today and get to in further weeks, that you're right, there is a mitzvah tzedakah of putting in the pushka. That's a mitzvah tzedakah. But it's not clear which mitzvah is deraisa, which mitzvah is derabanan. That's a little unclear. But there also is a formal mitzvah tzedakah of an ani coming to take tzedakah from you. So when the poskim are discussing the mitzvah tzedakah, they're not actually discussing the pushka case. The pushka case may or may not be derabanan. It might be deraisa, it might be derabanan. Either way, it's a kiyum deraisa. Either way, it's an important thing. But you also have to struggle with the question of, well, I put money in the pushka maybe 3 times a day. So I make a bracha every single time? Is every time I do it? I mean, if I put a dollar in, then I find another dollar, and I put it in a minute later, I make a bracha? You'd have to struggle a lot more to figure it out, but it's definitely a valid question that we may have to come back to. Anyways, that's what the Rashba suggests. But based on what we just suggested, maybe we have another answer. When we make a bracha, what do we say? Baruch ata Hashem, right? Blessed are you, Hashem. Asher kiddushanu, you made us holy. B'mitzvosav, Vitzivanu, you made us holy by way of commanding us in your mitzvos. We're doing what we're about to do because you commanded us in it, and that's what makes us holy. So perhaps you can make a bracha on lulav. Lulav sets us apart. Lulav makes us holy. A guy can't shake, I mean, he could, but he's not doing anything if he shakes a lulav. It's like shaking a bottle of orange juice. It doesn't really mean anything. When we shake a lulav, it makes us different. It makes us kados. Asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav, vitzivanu. We do this because you commanded us. But when we have a mitzvah like tzedakah, so if Hashem didn't command us, the Goyim didn't have a Torah, right? You'd still have to give tzedakah. It's just mistaber. It's just logical. It's just intuitive. You have to help your fellow neighbor because it's building, it's helping society keep going. It's that intuitive case of reciprocity. How could you say a bracha of asher kedushanu b'mitzvah sav v'tzivanu? Now, lest you think I would make up such a thing, first of all, the rokeach that we quoted before in Simen Shin Samach Vav that we mentioned a minute ago, whatever it was, we mentioned, so he actually says this, that you can't make a bracha on any mitzvah that Goyim are also commanded in. And if you look in source number 4, there's a beautiful team-up of a father and son here. The Torah Tmima, which was written by Rav Baruch Epstein. So he wrote this commentary on Chumash called Torah Tmima. He also wrote Baruch Sha'amar on the Siddur. He wrote a few things. So the Epstein family is linked also to the Netziv, who we mentioned before. They all intermarried each other. It's a long story there. But the Torah Tamima, Rav Baruch Epstein, so he suggests this exact answer for the mitzvah of tzedakah. He says, you can't say, Asher kedishanim b'mitzvosav v'tzivani, you can't say we were commanded, and that's what makes us holy, by the mitzvah of tzedakah, because either way we would have had to do it. V'haraya, here's the proof, even Goyim have to do it, so you can't make a bracha. And if you look right to the left, the Aruch HaShulchan, with the name we're more familiar with, he's in Yoredeya Simen Reish Mem. Simen Reish Mem in Yoredeya deals with Kibur Av Va'im. So the Aruch HaShulchan is the father of the Torah Tamima, Rav Yechiel Michal Epstein. So here we have a beautiful, seemingly a Masorah in the Epstein family, that he says the exact same thing. Why don't we make a bracha on Kibud Av Va'Im? One answer that people gave is what we just spoke about a second ago in the back. We spoke about the idea of doing the mitzvah too many times a day. Personally, okay, I live away, so I'm not Mekayim Kibud Av Va'Im. Even when I'm home, I'm not Mekayim enough Kibud Av Va'Im. But a person who's better than me, so they'll be Mekayim Kibud Av Va'Im. They'll pass a drink, They'll help with the dishes, they'll take out the garbage, whatever they do 100 times a day, you're not going to make a bracha every single time. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, no, the reason is because even the Goyim have to keep Kibud Av Va'Im, it just makes sense. Your father, your mother, they brought you into this world, they provide for you, they take care of you with everything. How could you say, Asher Kedishanam Bin Sosav Bitzivanu, how could you say we were set aside, set apart, kadosh, for the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Im, but even the Goyim should have to do it? And if anyone's familiar with the Gemara's and Kedushin of Avodah Zarah, so there's examples of Goyim keeping Kibud Av Va'Im. There's a famous guy named Dama Ben Nesina, so he was offered millions of dollars to do a great deal, to sell a paraduma, to sell a special diamond to the Kohanim, whatever, and he turned the deal down because it would have involved waking his father up. And the Gemara says, Ad kama kibud av aim, how great is the extent of the chiv of kibud av aim? This is the example, a nachri, a non-Jew, who kept the mitzvah of kibud av aim. And we know Esav was the biggest example of someone who kept kibud av aim. So the Goyim really have a part in that mitzvah. So Mamela says, the Epstein family, I guess, that we can't possibly make an Asher Kedishanam Bin Sosav Bitzivan, we can't make a Berchus HaMitzvah on Kibud Av Va'Im, and we're saying the same thing by Tzedakah. It's a mitzvah that everyone would have to do anyways, so it doesn't really get a bracha. That's the second answer that we could discuss tonight in terms of the Goyim. Again, in terms of the Goyim being Chayv in Mitzvah of Tzedakah, it's going to be Taloi, it's going to hinge upon a Machlokas Rishonim, the Ran and the Rambam, as we mentioned before. Hopefully it's not Halacha Maisa for any of us here. The poskim take it as very pashut that when the Shulchan Aruch says kol adam chayev litein tzedakah, that every person is chayev to give tzedakah, and we establish either every Jew or every person literally, the poskim take it as a simple matter that women are also chayev. No reason to think not. The only reason we would ever think women are not chayev in a mitzvah's essay is what? Zman grama. Okay, that's a word that everyone knows very well. The mitzvah's essay is zman grama. The mitzvah's essay that are caused by time and are linked in time. So the mitzvah tzedakah, seemingly a person could do at any moment, at the drop of a hat, an ani comes to the door, the pushka's in front of you. You can do the mitzvah tzedakah all the time, so it shouldn't fit into that. The Rav Yaakov Yeshaya Bloy, who was a mechaber many sfarim, he was a big gadol. He was, I think, the head of the Eda Charedes for a while in Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote a sefer called Tzedakah U'Mishpat, which is, first half of the sefer is a book about tzedakah. Okay, that's why we're talking about it. The second half is a book about Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. Why they're together? Not exactly sure. Maybe we'll give a share on that. But in the first parak in Sif Yud Tes, he says this as well. It's pashat that women are chayv mitzvah tzedakah, and the sefer Achinuch, which we quoted last week, mitzvah Taf Ayin Tes 479. The sefer Achinuch says as well, Zecharim Unikevos, both men and women, both have to keep the mitzvah of tzedakah. That seems very obvious. The only thing to point out, if you look in source number 5, Al-Pi Kabbalah, some of the Achronim point out the following. This is the Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef was authored by the Chida, who is another person who wrote many, many, many Svarim. So the Birkei Yosef is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. So here I put for you two places in Shulchan Aruch, one in Aruch Chaim, one in Yerodea, where the Chida says that a person should not give tzedakah at night. Shouldn't give tzedakah at night. Why? Because there's during the day there's Rachmanis, and at night there's Din. There's certain Kabbalistic things that are going on at night that make it not the most precious time, not the greatest time to give tzedakah, to do the mitzvah of tzedakah. And in fact, the Chida points out that the minig of the Arizal, who is the Rebbe of all of Kabbalah pretty much, the minig of the Arizal was in fact not to give tzedakah at night. That's what the Birkei Yosef says. So does that make it into a mitzvah essay Shazman Grama? Not really, right? It's Al Pi Kabbalah. Some of the posts can point out, I saw four or five tshuvas about this. So the Betzel HaChachma has a tshuva about this. The Maharsham has a tshuva about this. One of the Munkacher Rebbeim has a tshuva about this. A lot of people write about this, usually more of the Hasidish bent because they're dealing with Kabbalah things. They all point out, even the Arizal would have given money to an Ani if he came to him at night. He just tried to avoid giving it in the Pushka, whatever, some Kabbalistic thing. But this doesn't really make it into a mitzvah's Eseh Shizman Grama. There's still a mitzvah tzedakah all day long, and so there's no reason to knock out women from this mitzvah, so they also have a chelek in this beautiful, broad-ranging mitzvah. And Kol Adam Chayiv Litein Tzedakah very literally means every single Jewish and quite possibly non-Jewish person is chayiv to give tzedakah. We can now flip the page in the Makoros together. So everyone is chayiv in giving tzedakah. Everyone's chayiv. That's what we've established as of now. So what about the one person that we would think would not be chayiv in tzedakah? What about the poor person? Does he have to give tzedakah? Okay. So now we can skip the next 10 minutes. So the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin here in source number 6 on Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara in Gittin quotes a pasuk in Nachum that is a sefer that I've never mentioned or really looked at much. Not even sure if I pronounce it Nachum or Nachum. Just kind of winging it here. But that sefer has a pasuk which the Gemara darshins. It's a little hard to read, but the pasuk says Ve'ini Sicha, and the Gemara darshins Amar Mar Zutra Afilu Ani Hamis Parnes Min Tzedakah. Even a poor person, a pauper, who gets his living from tzedakah, Yaset Tzedakah. He also has to give tzedakah. He also has to provide for the other poor people in his neighborhood or wherever they may be. He also has to do this great mitzvah. And the Gemara goes on to say that if an Ani does do that, if an Ani who relies on tzedakah, in fact, gives tzedakah, he'll be blessed that the Hashem will remove from him, let's see, Ein Marin Lo Simane Anias. He will no longer see Simane Anias, signs of poverty, signs of Anias. Now, beautiful bracha. Basically, it sounds like if a poor person gives tzedakah, he won't be poor anymore. But if you look at the words in the Gemara, it sounds a little funny. What do we take away from him? Simane Anias, the signs, the symbols of being a poor person. Why did it have that extra word of simane? What's that extra word of signs of being a poor person? Take away his Anias, take away his poverty. So Rabbi Yosef Engel already asks this question in his Gilyoni HaShas on that daf in the Gemara. Not quoting the answer, not because I disagree, just because I didn't really understand it. It was a little difficult for me to understand, but I wanted to suggest another answer based on something a little bit different. The Rebbe Reb Yonason, as we referred him, Reb Yonason Eibshitz, also another guy who wrote a lot of Sfarim. So he wrote a sefer of drushim, little long drushas he gave, called the Yaros Dvash. So in the first chelik of the Yaros Dvash, in the fourth drusha that he gave, in the middle of this long drusha, so he says the following. He says, you know, we tend to think that an Ani should be very sad because he can't do the mitzvah of tzedakah. A rich person, Baruch Hashem, he's rich in Gashmias, and in Ruchnias, he could provide, he could support, he could keep doing mitzvah of tzedakah, seemingly a boundless energy for giving the for opening his wallet and providing for the poor people. But Rabbi Yonason says that's not really the case. Really, the poor person, in fact, has a possibly greater chelik in the mitzvah of tzedakah. He possibly can perform it with more fullness, with more shlemus than even the rich person. How so? Says Rabbi Yonason, when a poor person opens his wallet and finds 3 cents in there, and, well, let's call it 10 cents in there, and all he can give to an Ani is 1 cent. All he could spare is 1 penny. So he gives the penny, and he has such a broken heart. He's so broken. He's a kli shaver. He's so hurt. He's so hurting because he can't fulfill the mitzvah tzedakah in a greater way. He's pining, yearning, just dreaming of being a rich person to give tzedakah. Says Rabbi Yonason, at that moment, a Kaddish Baruch Hu looks at this poor person and says, you basically did the mitzvah to its fullest. First of all, you gave everything you could. And second of all, that yearning, that cheshek, that desire, that pining to give tzedakah, to provide for another poor person, that itself is considered as if you provided for another poor person. That itself is a mitzvah. That itself is a fuller performance of the mitzvah. You wanted to give entirely of yourself and step out of yourself to perform this mitzvah. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're an ani, but we're looking at you like a rich person. We're looking at you like someone who did tzedakah to the fullest. Perhaps with that idea in mind, that's what the Gemara means by we take away the simane anias. If a poor person gives tzedakah, he might still be a poor person. We mentioned last week he will get rich eventually. But right now, you're right, he might still be a poor person, he might still be a pauper. But he's a poor person who feels, who looks, who seems to everyone like a rich person. He's a poor person without the simane anias. He's an ani, but with no simani, with no signs, with no symbol of being a poor person, because he does tzedakah with such hislavus, in such an amazing way, with such a desire that we look at him as if he's a rich person. Even if he's an ani, we still take away the simanim, the signs of being a poor person. That's what I wanted to suggest, al-derech drush, in this Gemara. But anyways, the Gemara says in a halacha that a poor person also has to give tzedakah. And in fact, this is quoted in, okay, we don't have it on the page, but in Shulchan Aruch, on page one, in Reish Mem Ches Aleph, in Yerodea, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Afilu ani hamis parnis minat tzedakah." Even a poor person, even a pauper, is chayev to give tzedakah. Now, the difficulty with this is that we have an idea in Judaism called chayecha kodmin, which means that a person's life comes before his friend's life. If two people are dying, you're supposed to take care of yourself first, and only then are you supposed to take care of your friend. That's a klal in Judaism. The same klal applies in Staka. The Rama, here in source number 7, it's in Simen Reish Nun Aleph, Sif Gimel. The Rama says that he spells out this klal in Staka. He calls it Parnasas Atmo Kodemis L'chol Adam. A person must provide for himself before he provides for anyone else. Namely, if a person has zero income, he doesn't have to give tzedaka. If a person has zero income, he provides for himself, parnasas atmo, he takes care of his own sustenance, and only then does he go ahead and spread the wealth to someone else. But if you're alone, and you're supporting yourself, and you don't have much money, you don't have to give tzedaka. So how does that fit, how in the world does that fit, to strengthen the question, with our Shulchan Aruch that we just mentioned, that even an ani, hamis parnes minat tzedaka, even a poor person who is getting stuck himself, also has to give tzedaka. How could those two things fit together? So in source number 8, we have two different answers that the Achronim on Shulchan Aruch suggest. The Shach, in Yoredei, in the beginning of Simen Reish Mem Ches, suggests the following. He says, you're right, the poor person that the Shulchan Aruch said is chayef to give tzedakah, that poor person is a special case of a pauper. He's a poor person who has a little bit of an income. He works at a Burger King. Okay, that's a different shear if you're allowed to work at a Burger King. So he works at a, what do we have now? Subway or Mike's Burger. There's a few places there. I don't know what it is now, but whatever it is tonight. He works at the burger place, and he makes a tiny, meager income. But when he goes home, he can basically pay the bills, basically provide for himself, and he has the tiniest bit left over. Says the Shulchan Aruch, do you have a tiny bit left over? Gotta give tzedakah. Not all of it, but you gotta give some of that to tzedakah. It's a poor person who has a little bit of an income. He can provide for himself. He has a salary, just enough to provide for himself. The rest, the spillover, the revach, what he makes, he has to give a little bit to tzedakah. That's what the Shach says. The Nachlas Tzvi, in the left side of source number 8, the Nachlas Tzvi is someone who we're probably not so familiar with, if I would guess, but we are familiar maybe with a sefer called Pischei Tshuva. So the Pischei Tshuva was authored by, let me see if I get this right, Rav Avram Tzvi Hirsch, Tzvi or Hirsch, same thing, Rav Avram Tzvi Eisenstadt, who lived in 19th century Russia. So he wrote the Pischei Tshuva. He also wrote the Nachlas Tzvi, which is also a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. It's in Yoredei, it's in Choshen Mishpat. The Nachlas Tzvi suggests a different answer. He disagrees very, very respectfully with the Shach. And he says, if I hadn't seen the Shach, I would say a different idea. There's no stira between Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. There's no stira between the two halachas that a poor person has to give and a poor person doesn't have to give. Because, in fact, we're talking not about two different poor people, but about two different types of tzedakah, which we, again, will hopefully get to tonight. There are two different types of the mitzvah of tzedakah. There's a mitzvah of tzedakah that you have to provide for, let's say, your family or an ani who comes to ask for money from you. That's what the Ramah is talking about in Reish Nun Aleph. The Ramah says, if you have enough money that you're a rich person that you could provide for another person, you could support someone, you could help an ani out, so then you have to help the ani. But if you're poor and you can't afford that, there's no chiyuv to step out of your means and help someone live and support someone literally. But there's another parsha of tzedakah, there's another chiyuv, similar to the pushka chiyuv. There's another chiyuv of tzedakah, which is just a chovas agavra. Every person has to give a little tzedakah every year. There's a minimum for this, which hopefully we'll get to if we don't run out of time. There's a minimum for this, and says the Nachlas Tzvi, that's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. In a chanami, a poor person never has to support another person, but he does have to give that minimal amount of money to the pushka. He does have to give a little bit of money every single year in order to be mikayim the other side of the mitzvah of tzedakah. So hopefully we'll come back to that again. There are some funny ways that an ani is able to give tzedakah, or Chaim Kanievsky points out, it's at Beis Yosef. At the end of Simen Reish Nun Aleph, he's quoting a Mordechai in Bava Basra, who's working off a mission in Peya, that a person who's very poor doesn't have to necessarily give tzedakah, but he could sort of trade tzedakah. He could choose another poor person and say, I'll give you this tzedakah, and then the other poor person will basically just give it back. They could exchange in that way. We find that concept also by Shalach Manos in the Gemara Megillah on Zayinu Beis. So it's a funny concept that works out here as well. Fine. So that's good. Obviously, everyone is chayv in the mitzvah of tzedakah. What's also obvious is that if every person is chayv in the mitzvah of tzedakah, there can't be one shear, there can't be one set standard, one basic base level chiyuv. There can't be one money number, one amount that every person has to give to tzedakah. If there's a millionaire, he probably has to give more than a poor person. If there's a middle of the pack person, he probably has to give less than a rich person, right? It has to be that it adjusts. My Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita, he often likes to point out this is very similar to the din by Talmud Torah. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Mem Vav in Yoredei, that's where he discusses Talmud Torah, in the very first sif. He quotes the Gemara Menachos that every single person in Klal Yisrael, every single Jewish man is chayv to learn Torah every single day. Poor, rich, old, young, sick, healthy, every type of person has to learn Torah. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if you can't learn 15 hours a day, so do you have to learn at least twice a day, right? Kvias itim. A person has to set times, morning and night, to learn a little bit of Torah every single day. Possibly we could do that even with one pasuk, or a psukim in Kriyas Shema, night and day. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now, let's say we go to a person who's he's seemingly a big Talmid Chacham, someone who could sit and learn 20 hours a day, 15 hours a day, or Rebbe Yashiv's schedule, 22 hours a day, right? And he says, okay, I'll say Kriyas Shema morning and night, and what would Rebbe Yashiv do if he wasn't learning? It was a bad example. But, you know, I'll watch TV, I'll do something else with my time. So would that be okay? He kabbati yivim Torah. He fulfilled the minimum chiyuv, right? So obviously not. And what if a person who is not so intelligent, not so driven, not so interested, not so capable of sitting still for 15 hours and learning Torah? So if he learns 10 hours a day, if he learns 2 hours a day, if he learns 1 minute a day and does the minimum, you hold him accountable? The answer is no. There's a basic chiv of Talmud Torah that applies to everyone. Everyone has to learn at their level, but it's at their level. It has to be at what they're expected to do. We don't expect the major Talmud Chacham to learn less than he's supposed to, and we don't expect the major Am Haaretz to learn more than he's supposed to. They're supposed to meet at their respective levels, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bochen Levavos. He knows exactly what level every person's at and holds everyone accountable for which level they should be hitting. I recently saw, this is not so related, but it's very fascinating, I was looking at it, something entirely different in the Sefer Mo'adim Bizmanim, Chelek Dalet. That's Sefer by Rav Moshe Sternbach. Eitachar is now in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Moshe Sternbach has the Sefer Mo'adim Bizmanim. So in the very back of the Sefer, he has Likutei Ha'aros, things he wants to add on to different pieces. So again, I was looking in there for something else, Hilchos Purim or something. But right there, I saw an interesting psak. He said that we usually think that that for Kvias Itim, so let's say a Kolal Bacher, someone who learns morning and afternoon and night, so they automatically have kviyas itim, right? They learn, they set 2 times a day, 3 times a day to learn, they're done. Says Rav Moshe Sternbach, if you're paid to learn 1 seder, 2 seder, 3 seders a day, so you can't count that towards your kviyas itim. You can't say that I was koveya itim. You can't say I set aside time, because you have to set aside time. So if you're paid full-time, part-time, whatever it is, that seder, that part of your day where you're paid to be learning, cannot count towards this chiv of kvata itim la Torah. And so says Rav Moshe Sternbach, it's interesting that if a person learns 3 starim a day, morning, seder, and night, and he's paid for all 3, says Rav Moshe Sternbach, wake up a little early, go to sleep a little later, because you have not fulfilled kavati yitim Torah. Again, this subjective nature to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, every person has to fulfill it at his own level. And says Rav Schechter, it's the very same thing. This is just a mashal for our case of tzedakah. A person has to fulfill tzedakah at his level, a millionaire at his level, and a pennionaire at his level. So you're listening, okay. Okay, so that's in terms of the shir. So now let's get to the nitty-gritty of the shir. So this is where Hilchos Tzedakah becomes very complicated, because if you break it down, it comes out that there's a lot of different mitzvahs, a lot of different shirim, and a lot of different people. Rav Avram Moshe Avidan, who's a big Rav in Eretz Yisrael, yeah, Shalavim, he used to be Rosh Shiva Shalavim veteran here. So he has a sefer called Avas Tzedakah, which is a sefer on the mitzvah of Tzedakah and Maaser Ksafim. So in the third parak, in the Hakdama to that third parak, he lists for us that he's going to break it down into the following categories. There are 3 different types of mitzvahs of tzedakah. There are 6 different shiurim of tzedakah. And there are 5 different types of people, ranging from the richest to the poorest. It's pretty complicated. If you multiply those things, I'm sure you come out with some statistic that's crazy and out of my mind. But what it comes out to is that it's a very complicated area of halacha, because there's a lot of different cases and scenarios to deal with. What we'll do is go very basically and very simply, based on the Shulchan Aruch here in Simin Shin and Reish Mem Tes. Sorry, I keep saying that. It's source number 13, but we'll start with source number 9, there you go, in Reish Mem Tes, Sif Aleph. Shir Nisinasa, the shir of giving tzedakah is Im Yado Maseges, Yitin Kfi Tzorech Ha'anim. If he has enough money, he should give as much money as the ani needs. Basically, the pasuk of De Machsoro Yechzer Lo, Asher Yechzer Lo. If an ani comes and asks for a specific amount of money, you have to give him as much as you can give. Now, let's say you're a billionaire. So the ani asks for $500,000. So I don't know how many zeros are in billionaire, but I assume $500,000 is a drop in the bucket. So you can provide that money for the ani, no problem whatsoever. That's your chiyuv. That's your mitzvah tzedakah. You have to provide everything he needs. We'll get back to this when we get later into mitzvah tzedakah, but that's what you have to do for this ani. That's the first level. Let's say you're not a billionaire. You're a hundredaire, whatever. You're a little bit less. He asks for $500,000. You can't give him $500,000. You can give him a 50. So you decide to give him a 50. Did you miss out on your mitzvah tzedakah? No, you gave as much as you possibly could to help this ani. Says the Shulchan Aruch, I recommend giving a 1/5 of your money at most, and then I recommend giving a 1/10 if less, and less than that is an ayin ra, whatever details. But there's basically this ranging idea of if an ani is before you, that mitzvah tzedakah, when an ani comes to your door and asks for money, which we're going to get to later in Simin Reish Nun, that mitzvah it goes basically based on what a person is able to give and how much the ani needs. But there's a second level of tzedakah, and that's basically in source number 11 through 13. The Gemara Bava Basra on Tesa Manalef says that there is a minimum to mitzvah tzedakah. The minimum to mitzvah tzedakah is shlishis hashekel, one third of a shekel. What in the world is one third of a shekel? We don't work with, well, we work with shkalim, but they're different shkalim. So, okay, it took me like 40 minutes last night on Google and this silver calculator and that silver calculator. Basically, I got the following range for what shlishis hashekel would be nowadays. A person needs to give somewhere between $4 flat and maybe $4.26 and $7.68, according to the more machmir opinion. And the Chaznish might have a whole different number, but first keep the other Chaznishes, then you keep this one. I mean, you're keeping this one anyways, you'll see in a second. But a person has to give between $4 and $7 a year. What, in order to do what? Says the Gemara and the Ritva here in source number 12, that a person has to give this minimal level of tzedakah in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. Meaning, there's a mitzvah to give an ani who comes to your door at tzedakah. That's one type of mitzvah tzedakah. But there's a second mitzvah, which is a chovas agavra, maybe a takana, maybe it's only derabanan, maybe it's halacha melashmi Sinai. But there's a separate takana, a separate mitzvah, that a person himself has to give a certain amount of money. Meaning, if an ani never comes to my door all year round, do I not have to give tzedakah? So says the Gemara, says the Ritva, says the Shulchan Aruch, no. You have to give this base level of shlishis hashekel, again, between $4 and $8, every single year in order to have been in kaim the minimum level of giving tzedakah. That's what's quoted here in Shulchan Aruch, a very, very small amount of money, but that's that second level of mitzvah tzedakah, the mitzvah to give to the ani who asks for it, and then another mitzvah to yourself have given money even when there's no ani there. Putting in the pushka is a good example of this. Now, everyone here, whether you go to shul or not every single day, gives $8 to tzedakah every year. This isn't a problem. We're talking about a very poor person, so the basic minimum he has to hit to mekayim mitzvah tzedakah in this fashion is to hit this level of $4 to $8. The Shach in source number 14 points out that this might account, this is just very interesting, it might account for a fascinating minhag that we have. We know that during davening, it used to be apparently only Mondays and Thursdays, but during davening we have a gabbai. We have a gabbai right here to attest to this. We have a gabbai, you're probably a gabbai somewhere else, huh? We have a gabbai here to attest to this, though, on the other side, that we go around collecting money. Someone comes around with a pushka and collects money. So where in the world did that minhag come from? Says the Shach, there's this tiny base level amount of tzedakah that a person has to give every year. Basically, it's 256 prutos, which we just made up as $4 to $8. In order to hit that level, the gabbai would come around and say, give me the most lowest level of coin that you have. And if you did that basically 250 times a year, every day you were in shul, on a weekday, you would end up giving the shlishis hashekel, this minimum, and more. You'd surpass this mitzvah of tzedakah. You'd fulfill this mitzvah of tzedakah just by giving that very minimum amount every single day. Says the Shach, that's where the minimum comes from.
I understand. I put money in the pushka, I get a mitzvah. Does Joey get a mitzvah for walking around with the pushka?
There, for sure. He might even get a bigger mitzvah, sorry. He might even get a bigger mitzvah. The Gemara, Chazal say, Gadol ha-ma'ase me'ha-osa, that a person who causes a mitzvah tzedakah is even greater than the osa mitzvah, but that's also maybe for another shir. Just to end with the following minhag, that's one minhag the Shach says that this accounts for, the minhag of collecting money. There's another minhag which that minhag accounts for, which is very interesting. The Ramah in Or HaChaim in Simen Nun Aleph, we don't have on the sheet, in Simen Nun Aleph in Or HaChaim, he says that there are three times in davening during Pesukei Zimmer that we stand up. Baruch Sha'amar, Vayivarech David, and Yishtabach. Sorry, I pronounced all three wrong, I know. Okay, so there are three times we stand during davening, during Pesukei Zimmer. Why in the world do we stand for Vayivarech David? Why do we stand for that part of davening? It's not a Darvish HaPedusha, it's not particularly special. So the answer seemingly is the following amazing line of events over here. So the Mishnah Bikurim, which is quoted in the Gemara in Kedushin, the Mishnah Bikurim in the third parak, says that when the people who are coming to give the Bikurim, the Mevi'e Bikurim, people coming to bring their presents with their fruit to Yerushalayim, when they got to Yerushalayim, so the people who were doing their work in their storefronts, they stood up for them. They were mechabed them, they gave them honor by standing up. Now the din is that if you're doing work and you're going to lose money, you don't have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham when he walks by. You don't have to. So says the Bar Tanura on that Mishnah in Bikurim, why do these people have to stand up while they're working for the Mevi'e Bikurim, for the people doing this mitzvah Bikurim? Why do you have to stand up and give them kavod? You never have to waste your work time to give kavod to someone else. So what's pshat? Says the Bar Tanura, God chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. We honor the people doing the mitzvah because they're doing a mitzvah right now. What does that mean? I don't have to stand up for someone who just deserves kavod because he's a Talmud Chacham, but someone who's doing a mitzvah that doesn't happen all the time, and he's walking by, so even if I'm in the middle of work, I have to stand up and give him kavod, give him honor. That's what the Bar Tanura says. He says that's also why we stand up when they bring the baby in at a bris milah. Why are we all of a sudden standing for a baby, right? We don't stand for him again until he's 70, I guess. So At the, okay, we're going to get to the chuppah in a second. But so why do we stand for the baby? We don't, says the Bartanura. It's quoted by Rabbi Kiva Eger in Yerodea as well. We don't stand for the baby. We stand for the people carrying the baby, doing the mitzvah of bringing him to Bris Mila, says the Bartanura. And the Taz quotes this in Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea, also in Hilchos Avelis. That's also why we stand when they bring in the coffin with the mace inside of it. We don't stand up for the dead person. They're not showing kavod to the dead person. We're showing kavod to the people carrying the dead person in, carrying the mace into the room, because they're doing such a gevaldik mitzvah, says Rav Soloveitchik, and says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, I believe. Rav Schechter quotes this. I've heard it from many times. It's also in a Sefer Mipnei Rav, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and the Rav. That's also why we stand for a chasen and kala when they walk down the aisle. He's not really a king. He's not going to be a king till he's actually married. Sometimes he's not particularly knowledgeable. So why are we standing up for him? He's on his way towards doing a mitzvah, so too the kala. She's on her way towards doing a mitzvah. That's why we stand up. God, chaviv a mitzvah shaita, to honor them. An older person we stand up for, because the pasuk says, v'hadarta p'nei zakin. It's a separate din that you have to stand up for an old person. The Gemara's and Kedushin talk about that as well. It's a good point. But it's not because they're doing mitzvahs, it's because they've earned it. Anyway, so that's the idea over here. We stand up for people doing mitzvahs. Ah! Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that's why we stand up during Vayivarech David. The Mishnah Berurah here in the last source on the sheet says there's an old minhag to stand up to give tzedakah during Vayivarech David. What's the pasuk that we say over there? You are the master of all the riches. So during that pasuk, we have a minute to get up and give tzedakah. That's usually when the gabbai goes around. So says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and the Rav, that's why we stand up during Vayivarech David. Not because Vayivarech David is inherently special. It's not Davar Shebikdusha. It's not Shmona Esrei. It's not Bar Shamar. It's not Yishtabach. It's nothing like that. But the Gabbai tzedakah is going around to collect tzedakah. The people are going to give tzedakah. We show them a great kavod, like the people coming to bring Bikurim. We show them a great honor, a great kavod by standing up for them, because chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, we're showing them honor for the mitzvah they're doing, much like all the examples that we discussed only moments ago. Those are the two levels of tzedakah that we've discussed until now. The mitzvah of tzedakah, that an ani comes to you and asks for money and you give to him. The mitzvah of tzedakah, that you have to give a certain amount even if there is no ani in your town every year. The third level of tzedakah is the idea of meiser ksafim, which we're all much more familiar with. And hopefully we'll become even more familiar with it next week when we discuss the laws and the practical applications of the halachas of meiser ksafim. Thank you very much for coming. Hope to see people next week.